Let everybody say amen. Amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. You ought to be thankful that you got up this morning. You didn't wake yourself up this morning, but it was the Almighty God who allowed you to wake up. This morning, as we stand before God in His house of worship and sing out His praises and call out His name, we ought to be eternally grateful. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing, and we shall go back and visit it in a little while. But this morning, let us first of all take a moment and go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, we are blessed this morning once again to be able to come from our house to your house. We thank you, O Lord, and we pray for those who are in this auditorium this morning. We pray for those who may be on their way, and we pray especially for those who are sick and unable to be with us this morning. We thank you, O Lord, and pray that your healing finger will touch them, that they may be able to be with us at the next appointed time. Father, we pray and thank you so much for your Son who hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross. We thank you that we are able to serve him again this morning. We thank you for the blood that has washed us, O Lord, and we just pray and thank you for so many things that you have done for us. Father, we pray this morning for all of those who are standing in the need of prayer, and I believe that that's most of us. Father, we pray a prayer this morning for the one who has asked that we pray for her, that she may not only be able to deal with the illness that's going on in her family. We pray for her also, for the one whose mother is near death. We just pray and ask you, Father, that you grant unto her a feeling of strength and security that she may carry on. And we know that your will shall be done. We're so very thankful, Lord, that you sent back to us two that have been missing for a while, Sister Bullock and Brother Miles. We just thank you, O Heavenly Father, that they are back with us once again. We thank you and pray for Sister Sharon Williams, O Lord. We pray that she would soon be able to be with us once again as well. We thank you, Father, and we pray for the leaders of this congregation and their families that you may bless them. And, Father, continue to give them their health and their strength they need to carry on. We pray for all the brethren who have come before us and their families that they may do the job that has been assigned to them. We thank you, Father, for giving them the strength that they may do. And we pray, Father, for all of those who shall come from this point on, including myself, O Lord. We thank you, Father, and we pray and thank you for everything you do for us, O Lord. And thank you that that day when Jesus went to the cross, that you blessed him to come down off the cross and come back to heaven. We thank you, Father. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray and ask it all. Let the church say amen. Amen. This morning we want to talk about the cleansing blood of Jesus. The Bible great theme, its message is the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the blood, there would be no pure word of God. There would be no spiritual song to sing, no message of redemption to tell. There would be no instructions for, nor would there be any directions to heaven. And yes, there would be no escape from hell. Let us be thankful that there is the pure word of God. There is the God-inspired Bible. There is heaven, and it is available for all men to reside in once they leave this earth. All because of the blood that flowed from the old rugged cross of Christ. No matter how many messages you have listened to, no matter how many teachers have taught on different biblical texts, they should all have one thing in common, and that one thing is they should have ended up at the cross of Christ. For it is the cross where our sins were borne by Christ. So just who is Christ and how is he different from other men? The old rugged cross that cost Christ his life. The old rugged cross is where Christ died to save us, to give us salvation. Jesus paid a matchless price. The average human body contains enough blood to fill 1 or 2 gallon milk jugs. It equates to about 7% of our body weight. Medicine has come a long way from its early days, and we understand better the workings of the human body because of that. As precious as our own blood is to us, none of it was ever more precious than the blood that flowed from Jesus Christ as he hung on and died on yonder's cross. Peter in 1 Peter 1:19 called it the precious blood. The precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. No amount of our blood could have redeemed us from our sins. Only his precious blood, the precious blood of Jesus, could and did pay out for our redemption. We are bought with a price, the Bible tells us. The precious blood of Christ, the blood from Jesus, was blood without blemish, without spot. Man's blood is tainted. As I said before, the blood is precious to each and every one of us, for it is the life of the flesh which is in the blood, according to Leviticus 17 and verse number 11. The blood of Jesus is without doubt matchless because it is the blood spoken of in Hebrews 10:22. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission or no forgiveness. It was not man's blood, but instead it was the matchless blood of Jesus Christ that saved us. Men only discovered that the blood of one person could save another. We call it a blood transfusion, by means of what is known as a blood transfusion. It was discovered in the 1600s, and that first blood transfusion was used to keep dogs alive. But now we know how to make man transfer blood from man to man to keep the blood flowing in our bodies today. If man would only have heard the word of God, then they would have known that the blood had already saved men over thousands of years ago, because Jesus' blood saved us. His blood has power. We sing a song sometimes which said, "There is power in the blood, wondrous working power in the blood of the Lamb." Power denotes a sense of strength. Through the power of God, Jesus was sent down here to earth, not to put on a show, but to let us know all power is in his hand, and through his blood, all men might be saved through his precious and powerful blood. Peter 1:19 again refers to it as precious blood. It has the power to cleanse from all sin. What does that mean? Simply stated, when something is clean, it is no longer dirty. No doubt, there will still be some who think that a person will never be cleansed. But the blood of Jesus can change one from what he or she once was to something called a new creature, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. That's the power of the blood of Christ. There are approximately 8 billion people in the world, and yet if you took the blood of each one of them, combined it all together, it still would not have the power that one drop of the blood of Jesus had. Can you imagine, if you will, for a moment, with the average individual contains enough blood to fill, as I said before, 1 or 2 milk jugs, but none of it would be as powerful. From all the 8 billion or so people, none of it would be as powerful as the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is so magnificent. When we look at today's text, it talks about if we all walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from sin. Christ is the mediator from God, between us and God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let us look at and examine for a moment that one Son shed his magnificent blood that we might be cleansed and thereby be offered the opportunity to eternal life. All we have to do is accept it. And I know sometimes accepting the blood of Christ is above some people's mindset. They want to know, how can the blood of Christ cleanse me? I've been an awful person in my life. Doesn't make any difference. They want to know, if I become a Christian, what will my fate in life be? Well, I can't answer that, but you have the opportunity to be saved from the blood of Christ. It offers us the opportunity to extend it, to eternal life, if we but accept it. Therefore, when I think about it, when I look at that verse in 1 John 1 and verse number 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And somebody may ask, well, how does the blood cleanse us from all sin? Well, when you contact the blood that's in the watery grave of baptism, that's how you are cleansed. You come together with Christ. You meet Christ and his blood in the water. Then somebody may ask the question, I've been an awful person in my life. Will it save me? Yes, it has the power to save you. Yes, it has the power to save each and every one of us. Sometimes I wonder, and I've mentioned this to you before, sometimes I wonder, why did Christ even do it for us? Why did Christ die on yonder's cross for us? Because God so loved the world and he sent him here, his only begotten Son, to die for us. To lead us into a life, to bring us to Christ, to lead us into a life that has everlasting life as an opportunity for us. We can say about Jesus, he is the only begotten Son of God. He was there in the beginning of the world, according to John 1 and verse 1. He is our one and only Savior, according to Acts 4 and verse number 12. He is the head of the church, according to Ephesians 1:22. He is the foundation, according to 1 Corinthians 3:11. He is the root and the offspring of David, according to Revelation. He is our great and high priest. He is the same one written of in the law of Moses and in Psalms. Luke 24, verse number 44. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, according to Revelations 19 and 16. He is someone whom we all should know. Someone to follow, and most of all, someone to believe in. Do you know Christ this morning? Would you like to put him on today? We can do that today. The same blood that came from the old rugged cross on yesterday still has the saving power today. Without the blood of Jesus, we could not have the opportunity to be saved, nor would we be cleansed. I like that part in Rome and John, 1 John 1 and 7, where it says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You name it, and it can cleanse us. The power in the blood can cleanse us. Now, I don't know the exact workings of it, but all I know is that it's in the blood of Christ, is in the water, and we meet Christ through the watery grave of baptism. Isn't that right, church? When I look at the Bible and all the many instructions that the Bible gives us, I think about the one that means the most to me, and that's one I just read, where the power the Son, the blood of Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. When you look at it, it's good for us to know Christ. It's good for us to know Christ because, as I said, He is the only Son of God, and He is the beginning. He was there in the beginning of the world. When you think about it, somebody that has the power and that has been here since from the beginning of the world, there must be something that He knows that I don't know, and I ought to listen to Him. Isn't that right? We ought to listen to Him. And when you go back and look at the text in 1 Peter, the Bible says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are heaviness through manifold. But this is what I want you to hear, that in verse number 7, that the trials of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory in the appearing of Jesus Christ. Church, if you get to know Jesus, you'll be a much better person. You'll be a much better person than you could ever have been on your own. I think about sometimes how that without the blood of Christ, where could we go? Well, without the blood of Christ, there would be nowhere for us to go. There would be nowhere but one place for us to go without the blood of Christ. That's to a dying hell. But with the blood of Christ, we can all be saved. This morning, that one scripture says it all. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I like the part about if we walk in the light as He is in the light. That tells me where I need to be because Christ is already there. That tells me that Christ is already in the light. And then it tells me we have fellowship one with another. And we need some fellowship, church. And the blood of Christ, Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, my blood won't do very much for you. Your blood won't do very much for us. But the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sin and all unrighteousness. It is the blood that's redeeming toward us. And when you go down in the watery grave of baptism, you go down for the remission of your sin. I spoke to people over the years and they told me I got baptized because my mama told me I had to. Not because I knew why I was getting baptized, but because my mama told me I had to. They said it was time for me to do it, and if I didn't do it soon, they were going to pull me on up there. But that's not a good reason. The reason that you need to be baptized is for the remission of your sins. And the power that's in the blood can cleanse us from all that sin. I say to you this morning, if you don't know Christ, you should get to know Him. If you don't know Him, you need to learn Him. You need to get to know Christ for the remission of your sins. And I know that sometimes life gets hard. Life is not easy for us. Life is not easy to live a Christian life. It's sometimes hard for a Christian to stay a Christian. It's sometimes hard for a Christian to act like a Christian. It's sometimes hard for a Christian to be on the right path, and sometimes you fall off the path. You know, it's like walking around a track in a circle. You just keep going round and round, but you're not getting anywhere. until you meet the blood of Jesus Christ. And then you can be cleansed from all your sin. So I ask you this morning, have you been to Jesus? Have you met Jesus? Not only will he cleanse you from your sin, but he'll give you a new walk in life. He'll make your walk different than it used to be. He'll make it better than you once were and make you different than what you used to be. Now, sometimes in life, life can throw you some curveballs. And when life throws you a curveball, you've got to be willing and ready to accept what it brings your way. But with Christ in your life, you've got an advocate. You've somebody you can call upon. Somebody that who will be there for you when you can't be there for yourself. Somebody who I can't do what he can do for you. See, you can come to me and you can say, Brother Carter, will you pray for me? And I'll say, okay, I'll pray for you and I'll pray with you. But with Jesus as your friend, you can go a step further than me. You can ask Jesus to be your guide. You can ask Jesus to help you to get through whatever you're trying to get through. And you know, one day, and it's not going to be as long as it once was for most of us, the day will come when you'll be stretched out in a coffin. And you're going to have to pay that price of how you lived your life on the judgment day. And I remember last week Oscar was talking about how, you know, you didn't have such pain until you start to get older. Well, I'll tell you a couple more things, Oscar. When you sit down in a chair and sometimes you get up, sometimes you have to rock backwards 3 or 4 times before you can get up out of that chair. Sometimes your knee won't let you take the steps you used to take. Sometimes you used to be able to run across Stony Island. Now you're lucky if you can walk across there. So you need somebody in your life. You need an advocate, somebody to help you get across the street. Somebody to help you get up out of that chair. I never knew that our house had so many enemies in it to us. That beautiful piece of rug that you got there can become your mortal enemy as you get older in life. You'll slip and it'll throw you down. Getting in and out of the tub without a handle sometimes become a problem for many folk. But you know something? It's all a part of living. If you get older, you're going to get some of these ailments that bother you. You have a problem sometimes just walking and staying upright. But you know, I know a man. I know a man that can help you get through all of your trials and all of your tribulations, all of your pain and all of your aches and everything that you're going through. God can help you get through it, but you got to know him. Somebody told me one time, they said, I prayed and then I went over to the boat. And do you know I won when I went over to the boat? I know God was in it. Well, God didn't have anything to do with you gambling and winning no money. But a lot of folk like to say that every so often. I hear that. But I tell you one thing about it. When you meet the Lord and you meet him in the watery grave of baptism, you have a friend. A friend that you can call upon. A friend that can help you out in the end. A friend that can be there for you while you yet are living and walking this earth. But most of all, he gives you hope. Hope. And I know that sometimes life doesn't seem fair to us. But I know one thing about it. God is able. God is truly able and God will help you get through it. So how do I become a member of the Lord's body? How do I meet Christ? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing and then being baptized in the watery grave. But if somebody tells me I did that long time ago and I went down in the watery grave of baptism, but now I've walked astray and I need to know how to come back. Well, you go to God, ask Him for forgiveness and to help you get over whatever it is you're going through. Come forward in the church. Stand before the church and ask the church to pray with and for you if that's what you need. Whatever it is, God can fix it. I've never seen nothing that God can't fix. And how do you know He fixed it? Well, He made it, so I know He can fix it. Just like your car. If General Motors made it, you take it to a General Motors dealer and they can fix it. But God can fix the General Motors dealer. God can fix everything. God knows how we're made. God knows every hair on our head. God knows everything and He knows all about us. So what I suggest to you today, if you want to make that step, that commitment, come forward as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
971.